This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I do think that just the last two games, he's looked pretty sharp. Just his ability to move around, and then, he dropped some dimes in there tonight. And I thought he was playing very decisive and just making good decisions. So hopefully he'll continue to build upon this, and we'll continue to get better on offense.
Welcome back to this Victory Monday in the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11. Excited to hear what the guys have to say about this Packers victory over the San Francisco 49ers. Also excited to hear from my guy Pete Doherty of PackersNews.com, also of the USA Today Network. You can find him on social media at Pete Doherty. Pete, it is great to have you on. How are you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me, Andy.
Yeah, you bet. I know it's always a late night for you after a game like that, so I appreciate you taking the time early in the morning here. I want to start just by asking you, Pete, like, we know that the status of this 49ers team, right, and where they're kind of at right now with all the injuries that they have. So what were just kind of your takeaways from this game, and what can you kind of glean from a Packers victory over a 49ers team like this?
Yeah, you know, not too much, just because it just, it reminded me so much of in 19 when they go to Kansas City. And Mahomes and Chris Jones aren't playing. So, you know, and then the Packers won. But did they really beat the Kansas City Chiefs? You know, not really.
Right.
And did they really beat the 49ers? Not really. The difference is, in this one, they won. It was pretty convincing. You know, they won going away in the second half. And if, you know, Christian Watson doesn't drop that sure, you know, what was it, 49 or 51-yard touchdown, whatever it would have been, if he doesn't drop that, you know, they're up 17 at halftime and maybe going away already, you know, running away with it already then. So they did what they had to do in that way, and, you know, they didn't put themselves through a tight game against a team that was, you know, woefully undermanned. The only other thing I take from it is, you know, Love has played cleaner the last two games. He came close to an interception yesterday, but didn't happen. And that was the only, you know, that was the only bad decision he made. And he's, you know, like LaFleur said there, he put a bunch of throws on the money. And he seems to be playing a little cleaner. He looks healthy. So, you know, that's 2 weeks in a row he's played that way. So maybe, you know, I noticed I've, in the note you sent me, I really didn't even realize they were 6-1 in the last seven. Doesn't really feel like it, does it?
No.
But maybe, you know, maybe they're in position to go on a run. The schedule's tough, but maybe they are.
That was surprising to me as well. I forget where I read that or saw that, but it was, they're saying 6-1 in the last, actually, I think I was listening to the NFL Network, and they're like, the Packers now 6-1 in their last seven. And I'm like, is that real? It didn't really feel that way, but it is. They only lost, obviously, against Detroit during that time frame, and it hasn't exactly been the toughest stretch of game, but they get some wins against, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, the Houston Texans in that range. So I think we're about to see, again, coming up, Minnesota, Miami this week, of course, Detroit on the road. I think we're going to get to a much different feel for this team and where they're at and kind of the litmus test. But I want to go back to the offensive performance. Obviously, you brought up Jordan Love, the decision making. I think, again, really one poor decision over 2 weeks. I will pretty much take that almost every single time. But I want to go over this performance from Josh Jacobs, such a huge free agent signing. They decided to let Aaron Jones go in the offseason, a controversial decision at the time. They bring in Josh Jacobs, and I think really he has been as advertised, if not better, so far. How do you feel about his performance?
Yeah, I remember I talked with Scout when they signed him, a guy from another team, and he said he thought Jacobs was one of the best three or four backs in the league, and I can see why. You know, he and Jones are a little different, and, you know, I just liked Aaron Jones so much. You know, he was so dangerous. His ability to cut and to jump cut and his lateral quickness, I don't know if there's anybody in the league who's as quick as he was doing those things. So for any one game, you know, I'd still lean to maybe rather having him, or at least having him, you know, a year or two ago. But Jacobs is physical. He's built. He's more built for, you know, playing here. in November and December and January. And he's more durable. 26 carries yesterday, right?
Yep.
I mean, you couldn't give the ball to Aaron Jones 26 times, and you certainly couldn't do it a couple games in a row. The injury risk would just be way too high. And I think they're, you know, I could be wrong here, but I think their identity is starting to take shape. And, you know, Love is still a young quarterback. You know, it's easy to forget what the way he finished last season. He still needs a lot of help from that. Every quarterback needs help from the run game, but especially young ones. I think the identity of this team is going to be just, you know, pound the ball a lot and then put the ball in the quarterback's hands.
Yeah, I think so too. It's interesting you say that. Now, this is a very quick internet search, so maybe don't quote me on this too much, but I believe the most carries that Aaron Jones ever had in a game was 25 in December 29th of 2019 against the Detroit Lions, where he had 25 carries in that game. Josh Jacobs, 26 attempts in this game, something that Aaron Jones never did in his entire career in Green Bay. And I was with you, like, I think the comparison is always tougher because they're just both really great backs. They're both a little bit different. But I think what Josh Jacobs is bringing to this team right now, and just the intensity, and I think him setting the tone in this game was another really fun aspect. But both of them are fantastic. I think they would have done a great job with either of them. But kudos to Goody for, you know, replacing one with the other. And certainly Josh Jacobs being a little bit younger plays a factor in this as well. Let's talk about Jordan Love in this passing offense. Again, you mentioned the ability to kind of keep a clean sheet from an interception standpoint. It was a little bit of a different, you know, gave 13 of 23, 163 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Didn't feel quite like the passing offense was in rhythm, I think, decently due to the drops. But how do you evaluate Jordan in the passing offense now, not just in this game, but kind of through 11 games on the season now?
Yeah, it's been really sporadic, up and down. It's a little hard to judge because, you know, I mean, everybody's hurt around the league. So, you know, you can't make an excuse, but you don't know how much it was affecting him. His mobility, you know, as you and a lot of other people have noted, they were doing a lot more shotgun and pistol, you know, when his knee and then his groin were bothering him. And now he can go under center more. He looked like he was slinging the ball better. He had wide open receivers. I mean, that throw to Dobbs over the middle, for instance, was a really nice throw, but the guy was, you know, wide open too. It just seems like he's, you know, it's funny. If you look at Favre and Rodgers, they both got there in much different ways. But it was in their fifth season, not just their fifth season, it was the second half of their fifth season when they went from guys who were kind of up and down and, you know, 500 quarterbacks or barely better than 500 quarterbacks to where they learned how to win and they really turned the corner. Favre in 95, he went on a run in the final six or I think it was seven games and won his first MVP. And he had a passer rating like in the 120s. Rodgers went 7-1 in the second half of 95 after going 4-4. In 09, sorry, after going 4-4 in the first half of that season. So that's where we are with Love right now. He's in the second half of his fifth season. So I'm really curious to see if he can get himself on a run here and, you know, look like a guy who's going to be a consistent winner in this league.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting as well. And I'm really excited about some of these matchups just to kind of see where he matches up against some really tough opponents coming up. We're being joined by Pete Doherty of PackersNews.com. You can find him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Let's talk about the defense in this one. I actually want to start with maybe some maligned players that have been, you know, catching the eye of some Packers fans on social media. Quay Walker, Keyshawn Nixon, LVN, just to name a few. I thought we saw some positive performances from guys like that. I thought Quay Walker, yes, he missed the interception, but I was all over the field, made a couple nice plays in the backfield and tackles on Christian McCaffrey. Keyshawn Nixon forces that key fumble. LVN has a sack fumble. So I thought we at least maybe saw some signs from some guys who had maybe been struggling a little bit.
Yeah, the Walker thing is really, you know, I still wonder why they haven't put somebody else in there on early downs. Like, I mean, it's consistent with Walker. If the play is to the perimeter or if it's a pass, he's good. You know, he's good in coverage. He gets really nice deep drops. He's fast and he's long, so he's hard to throw over. And he could chase stuff down in the perimeter, but the stuff between the tackles, if I'm playing the Packers, I'm running the ball at him as much as I can. And I still, you know, wonder why they haven't, like, tried, for instance, Wilson in there, at least on early downs, you know, try him in the middle. So, you know, it's the same. It's the same. It's been all season, and it looks like they're just going to stick with him. You know, who were the Nixon? Nixon's kind of, you know, he does okay. He's an up and down player. He punched the ball out yesterday. God, who did he have that spectacular interception against? Was that last year against Kansas City? So,
yep,
you know, once in a while, he does some really good things, and he's not bad, but. You know, as you noted, I was listening to your podcast the other day. You know, if he's your one, you know, with Alexander out, it's going to be a struggle. And Van Ness, did you watch the protection on that play on the sack?
I saw him get picked up by, like, he got the, I don't know if it was an offensive tackle, but then I see him get to Christian McCaffrey and he just kind of throws Christian McCaffrey out of the way. But I didn't get a chance to look at it in fine detail. No.
So I did, and it's really weird. I don't know why, because it was only a four-man rush, and you know the technical things like this a lot better than I do. But they dropped their right guard, and he was playing right end, so he's on the other side of the line. They dropped their right guard to pick him up, and so that looked like a tough ask because that guy had to move pretty far. And so Van Ness kind of shrugged him off and then ran right through McCaffrey. Now, if I'm the Packers, the thing I'm most concerned about is, you know, for the rest of the season, is can they get enough pass rush to beat good teams? And they certainly need a lot more of that from Van Ness. They really need a light bulb to go on there and him to figure some things out, or else they're going to have to get it from, you know, Blitzen and Cooper, and we all know the risks that go with all the, you know, when you blitz a lot. But they're going to need a lot more of that from Van Ness if they're going to do a lot of damage in the postseason.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that group of edge rushers, Kingsley Nigbari needs to do a little bit better job finishing some of those opportunities. We didn't see much from Brenton Cox or Aaron Mosby in the form of pressure. So yeah, that front four is still going to need to do a better job of getting pressure moving forward. I certainly agree with that. On the plus side, I thought the run defense really impressive. Now, when you get off to a 17-0 lead, it makes it a little bit easier. The other team comes a little bit more predictable, but Christian McCaffrey, the kind of the one star they did have left in this game, 11 carries, 31 yards, only a 2.8 yard average. They shut down the 49ers run game really in totality. I thought that, if nothing else, was a very positive takeaway from this defense.
Yeah, I thought one of the, you know, big plays of the game was that first series in the third quarter. You know, if the 49ers get down and get points, you know, things start getting a little dicey. And on that fourth down, you know, McKinney broke that pass up, and I talked to him afterwards. And so he said they'd been doing that all game where they stack McCaffrey in the slot, and then he'd run a choice route. You know, he could go either, depending on the leverage, he'd go either out or in. And so McKinney said, I played him on the inside, knowing he's going to go to the outside, and then just anticipating it, and he was right there, and he broke up the play. You know, what a good player he's been for him. You know, I know the interception was huge, but that play was really big, too. I don't know, pretty impressive. Two pretty good free agent signings there between him and Jacobs. Those two guys have won the Packers several games this year.
Yeah, they really have. It's been a really kind of a masterclass by Goody and free agent signing and finding guys that can help. And even, again, finding Brandon McManus midseason, a seventh-round pick for Malik Willis right at the end. Some key additions that have helped this team in a major way throughout the course of the season so far. Again, being joined by Pete Doherty of PackersNews.com. All right, Pete, a couple final questions here. Short week, Packers-Dolphins coming up. One, how does Green Bay sort of prepare on this short week for the Dolphins? And kind of number two, what are you looking forward to in this game?
Yeah, these Thursdays are always tough for, I think they're especially tough for the coaches. I mean, LaFleur was saying as soon as he got done with his press conference, he's going to go watch the game film. The other coaches, the position coaches, have graded it. And then they get done with that, and we're going to start the game planning last night, too. But, you know, Miami's in the same position, and the Packers have the advantage. You know, for decades now, it's been, they played on Thanksgiving. It was on the road, and this week it won't be. And now when they do play on the road on a Thursday, which is next week, they'll have a whole week between the games. So they, you know, things work out pretty well with their schedule there. You know, Miami, the big thing is just their speed at receiver with Hill and Waddle. I mean, that's just, they're really dynamic and dangerous. And especially if Alexander doesn't play, very curious to see how the Packers secondary holds up on that.
Yeah, I think so too. We saw a little bit more of a platoon again this week after Carrington Valentine playing primarily against the Bears last week. We saw pretty much a 50-50 split between Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes in this one. So it'll be interesting to see just kind of how they try to match up, which corner they use on which of those dynamic wide receivers. I think it's going to take a lot of zone coverage, a lot of probably off coverage, and, you know, try to put the top over it like they did against Tua, what was it, a couple years ago when he had the concussion in that game and started really hot and then, you know, couldn't do much in the second half. So I'm very intrigued to see how they play this Miami offense and what they can kind of do defensively. It's going to be a much different game than the Brandon Allen 49ers. That is for sure. Pete, what do you got cooking at Packers News today and coming up this week?
Well, I got a film review I do every week with Eric Baranchek, and then I'll do a chat with Packers fans so you can they can submit their questions, and I'll answer them. I spend the whole day doing it, and then we post them Wednesday morning, and then we'll have a column, and we got a game Thursday night. Pretty condensed week for everybody, Andy, including you and me.
I was going to say, you mentioned the coaches. What about us, Pete? We're the ones that really get dragged through the ringer here. We got all this stuff we got to do in a short week. It's all on, I'm just kidding. It is obviously on the coaches and the players, but it is always a difficult short week to kind of get everything out, but you are the absolute best at doing it. Pete, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to come in on this short week where I know you are super busy. We'll be checking out all of your fantastic work. And of course, again, you can find him on Twitter at Pete Doherty. Pete will absolutely do this again very, very soon. When we come back, we'll be going to the phone. So get those phone calls into the Nicolet Law Fan Talking text line 414-677-1250. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.